Inside Security Podcast with Martin and Steve Yvette and Little Joe. News Yankee Steve giving weekly updates. Armor guy managing the microphones. Joseph's there and sparkles while the vet's in the airport. Andy Googles Microsoft on his iPhone. A family-friendly bucket full of southern goodness. What will they be ranting about this week?
It's episode 172 of the Southern Fried Security Podcast, the first episode for calendar year 2016. So glad you're here to join us. My name is Martin Fisher. Just really excited for what's going to be an incredible year here at Southern Fried Security. Joining me is my good friend Andy Willingham. Andy, just how cold is it in the Cincinnati, Kentucky area?
I can't say how cold it is on air and remain our, you know, keep our family friendly rating at the moment. It's just cold. It's going to be like, I think right now it might be 7 and it's going to be like 2. And I know if you're in Minnesota and North Dakota, you know, so George Hume and all these guys, you know, yes, I understand that's normal, but not here. Not for us Southern boys.
You know, kind of speaking for a vet in me, it's cold enough here in Atlanta that we're considering breaking up furniture to burn it for heat. it's not supposed to. Well, it is winter, and I think we got a little spoiled earlier with it being as warm as it was. But Lord, so also this is a vet, Johnson. A vet, just how cold is it inside the perimeter?
Oh gosh, I can't even respond to how cold it is. You know what I did see today? Someone posted that it was actually colder in, not Atlanta, but somewhere in the Midwest than it was in Antarctica.
That's awesome. And also they're recording this hot mess. Our good friend Sparkles, Joseph Ciccoli. Dude, how are you?
I'm doing great. Recovering from a fairly relaxing ShmooCon on my end.
Excellent. So. And from all reports, ShmooCon was quite the success this year. I'm not jealous of everyone who went at all. Not at all. So, well, gentle listeners, let us tell you a couple things that are going on right now. After talking with the folks and having some conversations internally, you're just going to see a little bit of a format change going forward. We think that the idea of we can talk about news, right? And we can rant and rave about the news. But what we want to do is change it up a little bit, and at least for now, we're going to start picking a topic and diving into a topic, and hopefully this can help you, our listeners, maybe think a little bit deeper, a little differently about some of the topics out there. And this week, what we want to do is kind of do a deep dive into the shallow pool that is security awareness training. So guys, this has been, at least, we were talking about this before we started recording, I think the security awareness conversation took a pretty sharp turn back in 2012 when Dave Itell did a bit on CSO Online titled Why You Shouldn't Train Employees for Security Awareness. Subtitled, Dave Itell Argues That Money Spent on Awareness Training is Money Wasted. Pretty quickly after that, Bruce Schneier came out and basically said security awareness sucks. Then, you know, another article from CSO Magazine that Maria Korolev did, this is September 30th of 2015, titled Does Security Awareness Training Even Work? So, guys, does it work?
So I'm going to go back to the Dave Itell article from 2012. And I mean, he notes when RSA got hacked. And I happened to be there when all of that happened and went down. I remember what was going on. And I was still there 6 to 9 months later when they were doing some testing, some security awareness testing to see if the employees had learned anything from it. And they were sending out emails saying, hey, do you want more space in your mailbox? Whether you were maxed out or not. Because, you know, we all get those emails of like, oh, you're reaching your limit on your mailbox. And something like 60 to 70% of people clicked yes, which was testing them. It was like a phishing attack test from the company. We could say that 6 months before when all this happened, people were supposedly aware at RSA. 6 months later, they still fell for it. So we could say that, yes, Dave's right. It's a waste of time.
So that begs this question. If the measure is like 60%, you know, clicked, that also means 40% didn't. for what's really, I mean, across, you know, any sort of information security program you can develop, let's face it, security awareness training is generally 1-3% of your total security budget. You know, if you could get, you know, 40% of your people protected from a particular attack vector for 1% of your budget, is it worth it?
I mean, I've heard people say, you know what, if it prevents one person within my organization from clicking on a bad link, I'm happy.
Or even more importantly, in the era of extremely targeted spear phishing, if I can prevent the CFO from clicking on something.
Exactly. You know, I mean, we can argue this all day long as to whether it's effective or not. And the answer is yes, it is, and no, it's not. It's different for every organization and for every person. Some companies do a good job because they take time and they spend money and they do training that works for them. The exact same training at another company, even in the same industry, may not be as effective. There's too many variables in it to say it does or doesn't work. I mean, you could click on a link one time, you could get 15,000 phishing emails in the course of your career and click on one of them because, not because you're not aware, not because you haven't been trained, and or even because you've had bad security awareness training. You're busy. You know, how many times have you accidentally clicked a link? There's too many variables, I think, to say one way or the other that yes, it is effective or no, it's not effective. You know, we've got stories of people, you know, I get stories all the time because we have to, you know, we're heavily regulated, obviously, and we have to do a fair amount of training and sending out awareness emails and other forms of awareness, you know, materials. And whenever we send this stuff out, almost every time we have somebody come back with a story of, you know, that reminds me, you know, last time when you sent out the message on such and such, you know, a couple of days later, this happened and I knew what to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, so yeah, it is effective. So, let me rephrase. I'm sorry. Yes, security awareness is effective. Is it effective every time? No, but it is effective. And if you don't do it, I think you're being negligent.
So I guess the question, because, you know, I had a pretty loud argument with some folks at B-Sides Atlanta last year around security awareness training. And the constant comment was, well, you know, you can do all the training you want, but someone's going to click it. And I guess for me, are any of y'all aware of a security technology that's 100% effective other than the power switch?
No.
And that's it's, to me, it's just part of the many things that we do. And, you know, I mean, if you're in a regulated industry, you know, Andy, you're in financial services, I'm in healthcare. You know, Joseph's done work in the government space. It's not optional. If you have signed a merchant agreement and you're subject to PCI, it's not optional. It is part of the responsibilities that you've picked up. And I think in the show notes, you know, we link to an article out of govtech.com that talks about, you know, 10 recommendations for security awareness. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But also, I mean, Health and Human Services talks about, hey, here's all the awareness and training requirements. There's another link from Teach Privacy that we show that, you know, has all the different flavors of, you know, everything from Sarbanes-Oxley to GLBA, all these regulatory frameworks require training. So I guess the question that comes, you may not want to do it. Let's say that you buy into the argument that Dave Vitale and Bruce Schneier made back then, that security awareness training is a waste of time. Okay. You know, there are a lot of people who think that the antivirus on the endpoint is a waste of money as well. But you still have to do it. I guess the question is, how do you make it better? And I'm open to
you. I was going to say, I can tell you that you make it better by not giving a one size fits all. And I know that's the most cost effective and it's the quickest and the easiest. But when your security awareness program consists of watch this video, read this, or whatever, you know, take this quiz, however it may be, and that's what everybody does, you're going to have a much lower effectiveness rate than if you have the same basic material and you have it presented in four or five different ways, audio, video, written, interactive, whatever it may be, and you allow people to pick that which works for them. That's how you make it better.
Interesting. So I want to jump in with a little anecdote here. So I did some work when I was back at Mad Security, where we were actually brought in to help interview an organization's security awareness training. And they actually sent us to multiple sites all over the U.S. And I sat down with everybody from executives all the way down to, you know, the lowest folks in the organization, and asked them, when was the last time you took the training? What spoke to you? What was good? What wasn't good? And I was literally talking to people who had just finished taking the training the day before and couldn't tell me anything about it. Right. I heard from groups of people who, when they had, because the training at the time was that sort of, you put in the little CD, you go through the video, you print out your little certificate, and you file it away or something along those lines. And they said, oh, well, all 10 of us in our department, we all do it at the exact same time. That way everybody gets the right answers, and it takes the whole department down for half an hour instead of people, you know, throughout things. And so, but what was interesting was really sitting down and kind of measuring what the effectiveness was, you know, what were the things that people remembered. And from that, we were able to work with the organization to kind of tailor, you know, to tailor a program towards them. You know, and that goes back to that whole one size fits all sort of thing where, you know, there isn't a one size fits all. There might be things that you have to do in your organization to directly influence, right? The things that people are working on day to day that you people, you know, if you're working in a company, you have more information than even an outside firm if you bring them in to develop your security awareness, right? You're going to have more information on the stuff that's more important to your organization. And so it does require some tailoring.
And I think the biggest mistake from that, where people start talking about, well, we're going to build a security awareness program, they think that a PowerPoint or a video presented one time, once a year, is enough. And that's just not the way people learn. To me, and we'll talk more about measuring effectiveness in changing people's retention of the key security principles is you have to do multiple touches using multiple methods of communication regularly and repeatedly. And you end up kind of repeating yourself, but it's sort of, you know, it's advertising, right? The same basic principles that go into how do you create an advertising campaign for, you know, Cheerios goes into creating a security awareness campaign. You're selling security awareness. You're wanting people to get on board and change a behavior, right? And that's advertising. So I think let's just be honest about it and say, look, the things that drive us crazy with advertising, they drive us crazy because they work. And sometimes we need to do those things. But one of the big challenges is that those things generally cost money. Maybe not a lot, but they do cost money. And in a lot of companies, budgets are incredibly tight. Generally in healthcare, where I come from, budgets are insanely tight. So what do you do? In a previous life, one of the things that we did, because you know, I'm sort of a statistics nerd, we actually did a statistically sound survey of our environment. We did a stratified sample, and Alex Hutton, I hope you're proud of me, did a stratified sample, did a 20-question thing of just very basic. These are there were 10 items we wanted people to remember. There were essentially two questions for each one phrased differently. And we discovered only about 19% of our people scored a passing score. It was very disheartening. So we said, okay, that's our baseline. And we started doing a security awareness program. And it was the traditional stuff you see in any healthcare provider. There's the mandatory HIPAA security rule and HIPAA privacy rule PowerPoints and the four-question quiz that everybody cheats on. But we also included lots of other, as many things as we could, reaching out, everything from sending out email newsletters, which are incredibly ineffective, but they do work for some people, to actually rounding, going and visiting groups and setting up a booth in the cafeteria. Well, then we did a follow-on survey. And on both surveys, both the original, the baseline one, and the following one to get enough participation. We let folks know that a random participant would win two free movie tickets, right? So for $25 in movie tickets, we had a participation rate of around 40 to 45% versus the normal 4 to 7% that you see on most email surveys. And it went from 19% passing to 42% passing in the course of about 8 months. So is that perfect? No. But for essentially a couple thousand dollars in materials, we substantially changed the awareness posture of the enterprise. And for me, it sort of demonstrated a couple things. One, it doesn't take a lot of money to move the needle, and it's not that hard to actually measure where that needle is. And
I mean, I've seen this exact same thing. I've been in organizations where you went into their cafeteria during, you know, Cybersecurity Awareness Month in October, and for, you know, 2 weeks, the CISO was in there, and they were, you know, playing kind of a spin the wheel. They would ask a question, a security question. If you got it right, you got to pick a prize. Wasn't anything big, but anytime anyone thinks they can get something for free, they're going to be interested. And they had a long line of people interested in answering questions and seeing if they could pick a prize.
Exactly.
And I've seen companies also make this truly a program where it was year round. They wrote people's names up, you know, in big letters in like the call center, who were like their security champions. And these people were not part of the security team. They were just regular employees. They would give them T-shirts and sweatshirts, and they wore those like a badge of honor if they reported an issue, if they walked by and saw somebody's workstation was unlocked and reported it. That became, you know, people wanted to get these points. People wanted to be aware and be able to report an issue because it was the cool thing to have this sweatshirt or this T-shirt and be able to wear this to work.
Right. And the key thing is for any of those environments, like, you know, that sort of thing where I work now would go over like a lead balloon. But that doesn't mean it wouldn't work. It doesn't work somewhere else. And I think the key for those of us who create these awareness programs, it has to be culturally appropriate to where you are. And the other thing is, again, it's advertising. So how do you get people's attention? One of the things we do in our current program is, yes, we send out monthly newsletters in with all sorts of information. But one of the things we definitely try to do is not only tell people, hey, you're doing this to protect the hospital and protect our patients, but we also every single time tie it to something about the employee, you know, around credit card theft, around, you know, ransomware on your computer at home. And we try to tie it to their enlightened self-interest so that they can realize, and Andy, you mentioned this, people who call in and go, hey, wow, thanks for, you know, when you sent that bulletin out, you know, and my son was about to click on whatever, he didn't do that, or we knew what to do. And it was for their personal, you know, their personal computer at home. That's as big a win, or maybe even a bigger one, than protecting the stuff, you know, in the office.
You know, and your comment on questions and answers kind of reminded me of one of the things that I've done in some of the security awareness classes when I was going out and giving them. One thing that I always had a lot of success with was actually dedicating some time to a kind of a no dumb questions sort of situation where the questions didn't have to necessarily be related directly to work, but general privacy and security questions. And I got stuff ranging from, well, tell me about the privacy stuff on Facebook, right? Do they really own my stuff and things like that? But this was stuff that got people thinking in a mindset of looking at privacy, looking at security, ensuring that they're protecting, you know, their own personal data. And obviously that stuff continued to carry over into work. And so we had some successes there, especially when, if I was doing like a security awareness class over a day, like right after lunch or something like that, times that would normally be difficult to teach to anyway, instead we had better engagement, and got people thinking about stuff, not just in the office, but also outside of that.
And actually, one of the things, if you do security awareness right, one of the key things it's going to do for you is enable you to create a relationship with the folks in your company where people are going to trust calling the security group. One of the big measurements I've always used as a CISO is, and it's anecdotal because we never get enough data points, but if people are willing to send an email saying, I screwed up, and they feel that there's enough confidence in the security group that it's not going to be immediately turned into, you know, a punitive expedition, that is the biggest possible win, because inevitably people will click things. And generally they know when they did it. And if they're willing to pick up a phone or shoot a text message or whatever and say, a bad thing just happened, can you help me? You have just cut your incident response window tremendously.
Yeah.
And people, I think you can't discount how important that is, especially in, again, the regulated industries.
You know, one thing I do want to bring up is when we were talking, you know, we mentioned the article that's going to be in the show notes on the 10 recommendations. One of the things that they talk about is newsletters, and you guys have kind of talked about that as well. So my question kind of out to the group is, do you include links in your email newsletters?
No.
Okay. And that was, you know, it's one of those things that I did want to bring up because it's an easy thing to overlook, right? You know, this is one of those things that you do have to be pretty mindful on how you're building all of the pieces of it. And that includes the newsletters, where the last thing you want is to send out a newsletter talking about phishing. Hey, here's more information. Or some organizations that I know, right, all of the letters or all of the emails from HR are actually one big image that happened to also be a hyperlink, right? you know, it's one of those things where, you know, it's an easy thing to fall into, is especially if you have a specific way that you've done newsletters in the organization in the past, or that's how, you know, you've always done it or whatever. But it is one of those things that you have to keep in mind.
Right. I mean, and that goes to something we'll probably end up talking about sometime this year. It's about, you know, walking the talk. As security people, we are watched very closely. And if we don't eat our own dog food, it devastates your program, because the people are going to think, so you're holding me to a standard you're not even willing to do yourself. But that's a conversation. That's another episode.
Well, we'll talk about that when we talk about senior executives who hand down directives that they themselves won't follow.
Oh, I have such questions for that.
We may have to put that. Yeah, I think there are several things we can pull out of previous episodes, just create a best of to talk about all that. So just kind of, we're getting to the point where we need to kind of wrap it up. I think one of the key things in making it better, and there's a great link to a govtech.com blog, is recommendations around security programs. We've already talked around making it culturally relevant, you know, appealing to people's personal interests. I mean, you know, for example, one of the things we recently did at the hospital was we sent out a bulletin that was about securing your Android and, you know, in your iPhone. We're a BYOD shop, right? We don't own any of those devices, but people care about it. And if they feel that you care about them, they're going to care about what they're doing. Enough said on that. The other thing you need to do is, again, is multiple touches, multiple areas. Where I'm at the hospital, we have a monthly newsletter. We have the required annual training. But one of the other things we've started doing are these flash bulletins where just recently there was very targeted phishing attacks against healthcare people. And we packaged up a very simple email, text-only email that said, look, you know, there are reports of this. If you see links, don't click on them. If you inadvertently do, you know, immediately report it to information security. Let us know if you have any questions. So there's multiple different ways of doing it. We're in the process right now of putting together a roadshow where we're going to be hitting our hospitals and our larger practices, essentially, you know, doing the, you know, handing out little Tyvek sleeves that are, you know, RFID proof for people to put their credit cards in or what have you. They'll also have a, you know, be branded and logoed for information security. So it's all about a branding, advertising, awareness, education piece that if you put it all together, you can spend a lot of money, but you don't have to spend a lot of money. And I think if you take the time to sit down and measure it beforehand and do measurements on a fairly regular basis through it, I'm willing to bet if you do it well, you'll see an impact. It's never going to be 100%, but you'll definitely see an impact.
And your comment on measurement was pretty on point there. That is one of the things that I know It's one of the reasons I think security awareness really gets a bad rap is it's difficult to measure, right? You have to be constantly taking metrics and figuring things out because it's easy to determine, well, it is more easy to determine the efficacy of things like your firewall or your intrusion prevention or something like that. But where the difficulty comes in is when you're dealing with people. And constant metrics is definitely a way to work with that.
People are hard. If we just not have... Well, guys, we have we've burned up our available amount of time for tonight. Thanks very much for being here. If you're interested in finding out more about the podcast, you can visit us at www.southernfraudsecurity.com. The Twitter handle for the podcast itself is at SFSPodcast. I am at ArmorGuy. Sparkles is at Jay Ciccoli. Andy, who I've seen a little bit of you on the social medias lately, my friend, is at Andy Willingham. The absent Steve Reagan is at Steve D3, and the ever lovely Yvette is at Jet Set Yvette. The show notes will be found on southernfraudsecurity.com/172. We'd love to hear from you, especially if you've got any feedback on sort of our new format idea. So on behalf of everybody here at the Southern Fraud Security Podcast, we encourage you, no matter where you are, stay warm, drink lots of fluids, and stay safe. We'll talk to you soon.
And enjoy the show notes.
Good night.
Night, y'all.
Good night, y'all.